and Rejoice resume. Also, that evening, we are going to have a volunteer appreciation dinner. You should find the information for that inside. That begins at 5:30. We have so many wonderful volunteers here at Trinity, which we could not do the ministry that we do here without. And so we are grateful for this time that we are going to be sharing together. And also wanted to let everybody know that the 6:35 service in the chapel will continue on Wednesday, where they will be concluding their sermon series on community at 6:35. So there'll be time to get something to eat and still go to the service if that is something you choose to do. Next Sunday, September 7th, we're going to have a Discover Trinity Photo Day. Some of you should receive these postcards as you leave today. This is being sponsored by our art committee that does the art displays that are on the second floor of our education wing. And the idea behind this is that we have 67 acres of God-given beauty all around us here, and there are photo opportunities galore. And so beginning actually before the 8:15 service, one of our very own photographers here, Carrie Ader, will be coming at 7 o'clock to catch the golden hour, good light in the morning. And so if you're a real photographer and would like to join him, you can do so at 7. But then following each service, we're just going to have some maps available, and you can use a smartphone or a real camera, walk the campus and take some pictures. And the idea is just to see through your eyes what you see here at Trinity, and everyone who chooses to can then submit, I think, an 8x10 photograph to be displayed in October in the education wing. So C-SNAP show next Sunday, September 7th. And then finally this morning, we have our adult ministry team represented here again in the back. There are sign-up tables available for some courses that we are offering coming up: Financial Peace University, Christian Believer, Disciple 1, 2, and 4. If you're looking for a course, especially a good Bible study course, we invite you to consider any of the Christian Believer or Disciple classes. We are actually looking to fill a daytime class for Disciple 1 on Sunday in particular. So there's some sign-up sheets back there, and Reverend David Leonard is back there to answer any questions that you have. And then we also have adults leisurely enjoying retirement together. Alert, they have a table in the back. You can see Jim Cook and Jan Johnson back there. And then we have some small groups. I see somebody just waved a Lifeline single sign at me, and there's some other Sunday schools being represented. So if you're looking for a course in the fall or a Sunday school group, there's sign-up tables in the back. On to our mission box. This morning, it is the fifth Sunday, and it is tradition in the Florida Conference that the fifth Sunday offerings go to support the Florida Methodist Children's Home, which is something that we here at Trinity are quite familiar with and have been quite generous with. And so we ask you this morning just to show that generosity again. There are so many kids in need of nurture and care, and the Florida Children's Home does a wonderful job of that. And you can give at any of the mission box locations that we have in the back. And that is all that I have. And Reverend Dan's going to come and welcome you now.
Thank you, Darren. How many of you saw the 10 seconds of the game last night? Yeah. And you knew that was a harbinger that we would have won that game if we would have kept going, right? Somebody had given us 4 tickets, and I'm so grateful I'd given them away to somebody else. So we were home last night. Let me just say a welcome to you. Ivan Gonzalez, and his bride, Anna. Anna, nice to see you guys. He came up. He was here at school from 95 to 99, and right here when we moved in, and this is the first time he's been back, and it's kind of cool. Nice to have you here. Anybody else visiting on this day after the wet game? Anybody here for the first time? It's good to have you. I was trying to think of some lessons about the game. Yes, Barna? Ann Rainey? Really? Nice to have you here, Ann. Welcome. From where? St. Pete? Naples. Good to see you. I was trying to think of some lessons from the game last night, and one of them is, you know, rain comes, you know. Sometimes your plans get washed out. It just happens. The other lesson I wondered about is one of the promos for the SEC Network. Have you seen that? If I heard it right, I think it was on that SEC football is like a religion, only, but it's bigger than religion. I thought, oh, you sure you want to say that? And I thought last night, God may have said, you might think you're bigger than God, but you're not. I'll show you. Why don't you stand and greet somebody and say, God's bigger than football. Welcome the people, would you?
We'll see.
Just continue standing and join with me as we sing this morning. And this morning, let us sing with one voice. Let us worship as one body. Let us sing as we are called to sing in Isaiah 42:10. Sing to the Lord a new song. Let us praise. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth. And let us sing. Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when I'm found in the desert place, the walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be your glorious name. And blessed be your name, and the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name, on the road marked with suffering, there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will sing. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be your name. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be your glorious name. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be your name. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be your glorious name. Your glorious name.
As we continue singing this morning, last couple weeks ago we sang this hymn, and it's been in my head ever since, and all the people said amen. And what's been ringing around in my noggin time and time again is the bridge. Blessed are the poor in spirit who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another start. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Because we all have those times when we feel like we're in the valley of shadows and we just can't escape. And we are all blessed. So let us sing with one voice, rejoicing that we are here to worship a God of love and infinite wisdom. You are not alone. If you are lonely, when you feel afraid, you're not the only. We are all the same. in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you've got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And let us sing. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know, love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and we fall. He so loved the world, he sent a son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Blessed are the persons who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another start. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Let's sing that again. And all the people said amen. Whoa. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Let's sing that bridge. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another's heart. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Let's sing amen. And all the people said amen. Whoa. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Here we go. And all the people said amen. Whoa. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Would you join with me in our statement of faith? Oh, you can be happy.
Yeah.
It's joyful to sing. And let us rejoice in our statement of faith. We believe in God, our creator and loving parent, who shapes and molds us, calling us forth to new life and new beginnings. We believe in Jesus Christ, our savior and redeemer, who walks with us through life's journeys, showing us the way, the truth, and the life. We believe in the Holy Spirit, our advocate and comforter, who blows peace, strength, and perseverance over our lives. We believe that our faith is not merely a set of words or hollow sayings, but that it is life-giving and life-changing, bringing God's kingdom to earth. Amen. And be seated, please.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. And as we turn our time to prayer, I think the list of folks will come up on the screen. Many of you may know that we get lots of calls from other Methodist churches around the state for people who come to Shands. One of those persons is Laura Lee Mills, who's been here a year. She's from Lakeland, I believe, and she's been here waiting for a new heart. And she got that new heart What day was it? Friday? Friday, and so far it's going really, really well, and very, very grateful for that. I'm grateful for our hospital visitation team who visit people they don't even know, but now they get to know them and they feel very close to them, and so this is really great. Other names are there, and other names are on your hearts and mine. This week, we're going to celebrate the lives of two giants of Trinity and of the education at the University of Florida community. Tom Filmer's Celebration of Life service will be this Tuesday at 10:30. Tom's textbooks are still used, his education textbooks known around the globe. And his colleague, Joe Whitmer, many of you know Joe, grew up in Amish family, taught around the globe, and has advocated for the Amish people. His service will be Thursday at 3:40. 3:40. I think in the Amish tradition, at least there's something about a week after the death, and he died at 3:40 this past Thursday. Interesting dynamics with the Amish. So that's going on. I would invite your prayers for them, for their families. Also, I would invite your prayers. Several years ago, I was actually in the early 70s before I was married. I was studying in Germany, a German language school, and I met a young man who we became friends, and I think about him a lot. He's from Syria. He said, "I'm an Assyrian Christian." And in my naivete, I thought, I didn't know there was such a thing. He graciously didn't say we were the first Christians. We've been around a lot longer than you have. Because, you know, Christians were first given the name Christian in Antioch, which is a part of Syria. And our hearts, our prayers go out to Christians, other minorities who are being, frankly, brutalized and killed in that part of Syria and Iraq. And we pray that that might come to an end, that people might be safe. So I invite your prayers for that. A number of months ago, Brian Myers, many of you know Brian, a long time, several years ago, lay leader, would preach occasionally, an educator at the University of Florida in ag education. We were talking, and he was sharing some of his story, and I said, "Brian, I think your story needs to be told." And so I've invited Brian to preach this morning, and we're grateful he's doing that. So we invite your prayers for Brian. Would you bow with me for prayer? God, we're rejoicing. We say amen through the good times and the hard times. We blessed be your name when the sun is shining and when the rain comes. But you are the constant one. You are the one to whom we turn and the one to whom we run to. And God, you're there and you're always there. Even when we're not sure in our feelings, we're sure in our faith. And so we come this day grateful for who you are and the privilege of being a part of this community of faith we call Trinity, where each Sunday we welcome one another home. We pray that this might be home, a safe place where we are not judged, we're not viewed askance, but we're secure in the arms of God and in the love of fellow members of this body. We're grateful that this has become home for this young woman, Laura Lee Mills, where Rosemary and her team have visited her faithfully all these months after months, and now we pray your healing grace upon her. For the privilege we have, many of us, of knowing people like Tom Filmer, a true Renaissance man, of Joe Whitmer, and these persons, and we get to rub shoulders with them and be influenced by them, and now we celebrate their homegoing to you and pray for their families. We pray for Christians in Syria, in Iraq, for other minorities, for other people who are being brutalized and killed by ISIS. We pray for divine intervention, for human intervention, that this might change. Forgive us, God, when we've been voices of harm and violence. Help us to be instruments of your peace with our neighbors, with our world. Bless Brian as he shares. Thank you for this gathering today. Have your will and your way in all of our lives. We pray in the name of Christ, who taught us when we gather to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven,
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come as we receive our morning offering? And Jan LeDuc, are you ushering today? Good. When you drive down on Southwest 13th Street and you look at the Habitat for Humanity, where you bring stuff, what's that called? Restore. Yeah, you bring stuff and that. You'll see that underneath the Habitat sign that says dedicated to Jan. No, what's it say? But your name's there. In honor of Jan LeDuc. Wow. Because of all your involvement. How about that? Jan LeDuc. Man. You know, I feel bad. We got to put one of those signs out here because all the work you do around here, Jan LeDuc. Thank you for all you do. Yeah. God bless these gifts for your kingdom, we pray in your name. Amen. Thank you.
In my darkness, peace for my soul, you are my rescue, you never let go. Light in my darkness, peace for my soul, you are my rescue, you never let go. All my hope is in you, and all my strength is in you. With every breath, my soul will rest in you. Here in my dark weakness, always the same, your love is my shelter, your life is my way, all my hope. All my hope is in you, all my strength is in you. With every breath, my soul will rest in you. Constant Savior. Constant Savior. Friend forever. Lord, you have. Is in you. my soul will rest in you. All the earth beneath you, all my life before you, with every breath, my soul will rest in you. Every breath, my soul will rest in you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Well, it's truly a pleasure to be with you today. Usually you only have to deal with me whenever all the clergy's out of town. But today I got the pressure because the entire Old Testament dream team is here. Daniel, Aaron, Esther, and David. But it is a pure pleasure to be here and to share with you. And I'm going to borrow something Dan has done before. Please pray for me as I pray for you. Let us pray for each other. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you come and you bless this time together and bless these words and plant them in our hearts. May they speak to each one of us for what you know we need to hear today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be here with you today and to kind of kick off this series we're doing in James. James is a great book. If you haven't done a Bible study in James, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun to read. There's a lot of great application that happens here. And as a way to set up a little bit of background about the book of James, I think that's important to kind of figure those kind of things out as you know what this letter is all about. You know, it was written, tradition tells us, and we're pretty confident, letter was written by James, the brother of Jesus. Now, one remarkable background story is that James was not a follower of Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. It was a post-resurrection appearance that convinced James that Jesus is indeed the Christ. Take a look at Acts chapter 1 or 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for more on that story. James later then led the Jerusalem church. And so what that tells me, there's still hope that my sister will see the light on how great her brother is. The other thing that we know here about James, we think here James, it was most likely written to Jewish Christians in or around Palestine, somewhere between the years of AD 48 and AD 52. Now, during this time, the church was experiencing a lot of external persecution, but also there was a tremendous amount of internal bickering. I'm glad church has gotten beyond that. That's sarcasm, by the way. And so, but here, one thing about James is that James is known for its practical application of the moral teachings of Jesus. He puts it down there, as one of my favorite Bible teachers says, he puts the gospel down in shoe leather. And for some reason, some Bible teachers and some scholars end up pitting James against Paul in what they write and what they tell. And I think that's artificial because both men, James and Paul, write and teach to give us a solid understanding of what God is calling us to be. I think this is pretty sound. I don't know. But I somewhat see the book of James much like Joshua's "as for me and my house" statement. Here, James tells us, "as for me, I will live out my faith through what I do." And I think he's calling us to do the very same. So here are these words in James chapter 1. As our foundation for today's study. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom or the gospel and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. As we look here at James, a couple of notes I want to point out here. True worship leads by putting the gospel exhortations into action. Nowhere in the Bible are we called to come together to learn about the Bible and just keep it into ourselves. Everywhere it says to learn these things about the gospel, about what the Bible teaches, and to go out and to live that out in our communities, in our families, and throughout the world. Now, the contrast in this passage is made between hearer of the word and the one who looks in the face of the mirror and forgets, and the doer of the word who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom, the gospel again, and perseveres. This distinction is found in whether the one who looks allows that gospel, the perfect law of freedom, to shape his life's course. The person who hears and does the word puts faith into action and is blessed. What a great promise. His worship influences his life. Another passage I want to look at today is a very common one. A foundation of our faith is in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I think it's so important as we continue to grow and study and learn and live out our faith that we don't go beyond and forget the basics of our faith, the basics of the gospel. What does the Bible tell us about our faith? What is that bedrock? And that bedrock is that God loves us and God sent his Son to pay the price for our sins. One more passage I want to look at is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day approaching. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to be as the church. That we're to spur each other on and encourage them. And we're to surround them in love and comfort and hope and joy. And to be with them and to support them in all that they do. May the Lord add his blessing to the hearing and the understanding of his word. One of my favorite parts of our Sunday morning service is the part where Dan or Esther or Aaron or David, someone gets up and says, "Welcome home." You're still awake. Welcome home. It is great to be home. And we probably all have a time in our lives whenever we first realize that this is home. A lot of you folks know that I jokingly refer to the fact that I'm on year 14 of a 3-year stay in Gainesville. We were planning to be here for 3 years to come to graduate school. Sorry for you all, but the University of Florida decided to keep me. And we're going to be here for a while because here in July they promoted me to full professor. So you're stuck with me. Nah. But there was a time when I knew I was home. It happened in May of 2005. It was a Friday before Mother's Day weekend, and I was standing in the parking lot of a hotel in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I went through there, and right on cue, the phone rang. I looked down, and it was my wife, my beautiful bride. I picked up the phone, I answered it. I'm sure I said something witty because I find myself to be completely hilarious. So I said, "Hello, honey." And she's at home. She's been there all week. She was pregnant with her second child with a 4-year-old running around. And so I'm excited and I hear these words, "Brian, we lost the baby." I can still picture the car I was standing in front of in that parking lot when I heard those words. Brian, we lost the baby. I've never felt more alone, more helpless, or more angry in my entire life. My beautiful bride was sitting at home 1,000 miles away with our 4-year-old, and there was absolutely nothing I could do to take away the pain. Now, I don't know how it happened. I really don't. I wish I could tell you. But the next thing I remember, I'm on the phone. And it's Gene Evans on the other end of the line. I guess in despair, the only thing I can figure out in despair and my loneliness, I didn't know what else to do, so I called the church. And Gene must have been the only one around on a Friday morning. I told Gene what happened. She said, Brian, I love you. I love your family. Let me help care for them. That was the church surrounding me from 1,000 miles away. And for some reason, that's all I needed to hear at that moment. Because I knew my church family was taking care of my family during that time. So I was able to start to do battle with Delta Airlines trying to get home. I walk up to the ticket counter at Delta. They say, hey, we can get you out of Indianapolis 1 hour early, but we would get you back into Gainesville about 3 hours later than you're normally scheduled. So all I had to do was to sit in Indianapolis Airport, to sit on that plane from Indianapolis to Atlanta, sit on that plane from Atlanta to Gainesville and pray. That's all I could do. And yes, I still had that urge, that tugging that I need to be doing more. But yet I was also comforted in knowing that my family was surrounding me. And I don't think it's more important to us than anybody else because, again, many of you guys know I'm an Illinois farm boy, so all of my family lives in the same county in West Central Illinois. So my family's 1,000 miles away as well. And you're all I got. One of the things that I learned through all this is that we as a society, we as a people, we don't know how to mourn miscarriages. And they're oh so common. Whenever we do talk about it, I'm always amazed at the number of people who come up to me and says, my wife and I, we had a miscarriage as well. Sadly, we leave way too many women and families to deal with this entire situation on their own. And as we were preparing this, and I was working with Margaret as we go through all this, she said, do that thing that Dan does sometimes when he tells us what to say and what not to say. And so in working with Margaret as she's gone through these things, here are some words that she's given us on what not to say. And I wish we had made these things up. But well-intentioned people, we sometimes say really, really dumb things. Do not offer comments like, God must have needed another angel in heaven. Or something must have been wrong with the baby, so it's for the best. How she kept from scratching their eyeballs out when they said that, I'm not sure. Because those of you that have done this know that it is so raw when you've lost a child and don't really know how to mourn. It's raw today, almost 10 years later. Please do not tell the person how to feel or what they should be feeling right now. But there are some things that you can say and do. Keep it simple. Say, I'm so sorry for your loss, and I love you. And then just be a listener. I know I have trouble doing that. You want to fix things. You want to say something, that awkward silence. But it's that point to just be quiet and listen. Pray for them. Tell them you're going to pray for them. Tell them you are praying for them, and then actually do it. Too many times, and I'm guilty of this too, I'll walk up to somebody and say, hey, I'm praying for you. And never think of it again. Pray for them. Tell them you're praying for them and actually do it. Listen when they speak and listen without judgment. Offer hugs and tissues. And probably one of the most important ones. Only say that you know the kind of pain they are going through if you truly do. We've all suffered pain, but everybody's pain's a little different. Only if you have gone through the same thing do I encourage you to say that you know what they're going through. If this happens to you, some things we might suggest you consider. Number one, cry. Number two, cry. Cry as often as you need to, wherever you need to, for as long as you need to. Know that it's okay to feel angry. Just don't stay in that angry place. Know that it's okay to have these crazy and cruel thoughts running through your head. But get those most intense emotions out and whatever is most comfortable for you. Talking to someone. Writing it down in a journal. Do something. Yell at God. Yell at God if you need to. He can handle it. Look at the Psalms. The Psalms is full of people crying out to God in anger. Seek out someone that you can trust. Hopefully someone that's gone through the same experience, because those that have gone through this experience are the best ones to offer empathy and support. Be sure to pray. You're not going to know what words to pray or how to say it, but just pray. And Margaret put down here finally, support your spouse the best you can. They're hurting too. We're going to talk about the spouse in denial a little bit later. As we're dealing through all this, I'm still trying to make my trek home the 1,000 miles. And again, Margaret is sitting there at home with her 4-year-old at the time. And I truly believe that God works through all of us in mysterious ways and different times. And through something that Tim said to Margaret, and Margaret helped manage a little bit and finesse it, because we know this had to come from God, because it was way too profound to come from a 4-year-old. And he probably had to use the 4-year-old because the rest of us were too blinded by it all. We shared those words with Dan, and Dan helped us in his great poetic way create a plaque that sits out in the memorial garden. And on that, in that plaque, we have these words, this poem that's up there. It's a way to help us hopefully show people how to grieve and to share that experience. Would you bring those words up, please? For all the babies who were never rocked in the arms of their parents, or whose time of rocking was way too brief, may they be rocked forever in the arms of angels. I've always found the Memorial Garden here on Trinity's campus to be a special place. A lot of you guys know that apparently I have the gift of committees, because I'm on a lot of committees here at church. And I come to meetings, and sometimes I try to run by there early on, the Memorial Garden, a nice quiet spot, and I find myself drawn to that plaque. It's a small little plaque. It was by a tree last time I saw it. And it was the best that I knew how to mourn, to go to that place, because I didn't know how else to do it. Because again, I just said that pain was raw. Throughout my career as an educator, both in the high school setting and now at the university setting, I've been kind of known as the guy to handle the crisis. I'm pretty good at it. For some reason, whenever there's a crisis situation happening, I'm able to see through it all and kind of get things worked out. And that crisis may be anything from somebody actually gets hurt, or there's a problem, or a bus breaks down, or whatever else happens. The only crisis I'm not good at is when somebody's boyfriend breaks up with them. You're on your own for that one. But, you know, in this particular situation, I kicked into crisis mode. I was very clear on what my task was. First, number one, take care of my wife. Check. The church was doing that. Number two, get home. Check. We went through there. When I finally got home, we cried together. And I thought the situation was handled. But I was wrong. I thought I had dealt with the entire situation, but I hadn't. I found myself angry with God still years later. Over 6 years later, the anger and the pain inside of me was tremendous. How could God do this to my family and me? What had I done to deserve this? Why was my wife and my unborn child paying for what I did? Didn't God know what I had done? So I started making a list. I serve on this, I do that, I do this. Not my proudest moment. I was that man that James warns us about. I had forgotten what God had done for me, how he had been with me. And in my anger, while I was saying, look, God, I had done this, I had done this. Look at the man I am. Look at my family. We have done all this for you. How do you do this? God showed me his list. These words came, you know thou shalt not kill. But I tell you, if you are angry with your brother, you are guilty of murder. That's some 2x4 theology right there. Came up and whacked me. Brian, what are you thinking? The good news is that God tells me here, the sin in my life will not let me do that on my own, but God provides us hope. He knew that I couldn't do it, but he's there to help me. And time and time and time again, as I'm sitting on my back porch, driving down the road with my own thoughts, trying to think about how this was all happening, the verse John 3:16 kept coming to mind. Thank God for Sunday school teachers who taught me that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I can still see myself sitting on that back porch saying, why? And all I would hear is, I love you. Why, God, did you do this? I love you. Why is this happening to my family? I love you. Why, God? And he says, I love you. And I lost my son too. God knew that I couldn't do it alone. So he gave me his son. I want to read a little bit here from Adam Hamilton's book, Making Sense of the Bible. He talks about why things happen. Whatever we might say of God's punishment for sin in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the apostles believed and taught that Jesus bore the punishment for humanity's sins. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Paul teaches in Romans 5:10, we were enemies. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. The writer of Hebrew notes, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. Many progressive Christians struggle with this idea of Christ atoning for sins by his suffering and death on the cross. But I wonder if this language doesn't free us from the burden of thinking that our suffering, when it inevitably comes, is punishment for some sin we've committed. Whatever punishment we think we deserve from God has been borne by Christ on the cross. Now, I don't believe that God took my child. But I do know, and I do know that God welcomed my child with open arms. And I know that one day I will see that child in heaven. It's so important for us to remember the basics of our faith. The foundations of our faith are so important. Jesus died for me, and he paid the price for my sin. The gospel is the story we must all tell. The writer of the old hymn, I think, has it right. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else will do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I've often heard at times that God teaches us through trials. I'm here to tell you that at least I think that's all wrong. I think God teaches and supports us in the good times so that we have the support to make it through the tough times. We have our relationship with him and we are surrounded by others. My Friday morning breakfast group, my Sunday school classes, other friends that I have here at the church, people that I know that love and support me, who I am. As we read in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us, let us hold unswervingly. That means don't let go to hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Encourage each other to those good deeds. Not giving up meeting with each other. We need each other. The church is designed to be God's people coming together. God has ordained and called us to come together. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As that glorious day comes, we are called to support each other, both here at God's Church of Trinity, around the community, and around the world. The trials will come. Tough times will come, but God surrounds us with his love and with his church. Psalm 73 says it so well. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. We come like who we are. Yet I am always with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards you will take me into glory. He will lead me by the right hand. Last night at the football game, when I was leading my son through the whole mess of people, what did I do? I grabbed his hand so I wouldn't lose him, so I wouldn't let go. God offers that. God wants to hold our hands through the mess of life to support us. Whom have I in heaven but you? The earth was nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God gives us all that we need. As we prepare for Holy Communion today, remember what this represents. God loves us. God loves you so much that he gave up his son to pay the price for our sins. The bread, his body broken for you. The cup, his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. God loves you and longs to support you and guide you through all of life, good and bad. He doesn't cause the bad things to happen, but he does promise that you will never have to go through them alone. Run to God. Run to God's open arms. Run to be held in the arms of God and hear him say to you, "Welcome home." Amen.
Ryan shared, we get to celebrate this table. This table where the Lord invites us to come and receive grace. Grace in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our sin, and grace in the midst of suffering and asking why. And thankfully that grace abounds. And so we remember how on the night before he gave himself up for us, Christ gathered together with his disciples. And he took bread, gave thanks for it, broke the bread and offered it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. As often as you eat this, do it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks for it and offered it again and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so every time that we celebrate this meal, we remember God's love. May that be our foundation. Let us pray. God, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, that we may be that community that represents God's arms and that holds on to each other when we are in greatest need. God, nourish us through these elements. May your comfort, grace, and peace be very real to us as we come to your table, we pray. Amen. Will those who are helping serve come forward at this time? And if you feel led to come and receive communion, you may come. Anyone is welcome to receive these elements. And so the table is set.
once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now, oh, I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear? The hour I first believed, my chains are gone.
Verse together. Let's all stand and sing as one.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here, chains are gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free by God. My Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns.
Take someone's hand and receive the benediction. Brian, would you come and then go out and greet people, would you? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, who will never let us go, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Oh man, my kids love that song. Like all that stuff.